Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, February 14th. Verde Diamondback suspend plant plans. Martin County operation would have been gas-to-gasoline venture. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Plans to develop a natural gas-to-gasoline plant in Martin County have been suspended. Verde Clean Fuels and Cottonmouth Ventures, a wholly owned subsidiary of Diamondback Energy, had entered into the joint development agreement to place the plant on a Diamondback location in Martin County and generate gasoline from natural gas provided by Diamondback. However, changing market conditions driven by increasing demand for natural gas in the Permian Basin prompted the two companies to suspend those plans. Preparation for the plant included a front-end engineering and design study that was completed in December. Quote, "We are thankful to Diamondback for their support of the Permian Basin project. The learnings from the work that was completed, in particular from the FEED study, will continue to be useful as we explore other opportunities to deploy our technology. This allows us to devote our resources toward other opportunities we have been developing in regions where natural gas is stranded or flared without access to a higher-value outlet to market. Cottonmouth remains our second-largest shareholder and supportive of our continued efforts to deploy our technology," said Ernest Miller, Verde Chief Executive Officer, in a statement. Cottonmouth invested a total of $70 million in Verde, making it Verde's second-largest shareholder. Verde is focused on the deployment of liquid fuels processing technology through development of commercial production plants. The primary focus is on opportunities to convert associated natural gas into gasoline, which is expected to provide a market for such natural gas with the added potential benefits of flare mitigation and production of gasoline with a lower carbon intensity than conventional gasoline. Company acquires position in New Mexico. Its new assets cover 35,000 gross acres. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Low oil prices and an atmosphere of uncertainty have not deterred tailwater capital from investing in the oil and gas industry. The company and its upstream investment platform, Tailwater E&P, have acquired a diversified non-operated leasehold position across the northern Delaware Basin in Lee and Eddy Counties, New Mexico. The acquired asset covers about 35,000 gross acres and includes exposure to more than 900 gross wells. The acreage is over 97% held by production and features significant near-term development, activity under premier operators, including Coterra, Mewbourne, Devon, and Matador. The investment includes access to more than 250 near-term DUC, AFE, and permitted locations, along with a deep inventory of more than 10 years of highly economic undeveloped drilling locations. Quote, "We're excited about what's happening in New Mexico and the Permian Basin in general," said Doug Prieto, partner at Tailwater Capital, adding the company is also excited about developments in other producing basins. Quote, "We're seeing operators drilling better wells, delineating new zones, and lowering costs," end quote. Prieto said the company has been watching the development of new zones, including the Woodford and Barnett, Avalon and Harkey Sand, and Woodcamp C and D benches. Technology is lowering drilling and completion costs, improving efficiency, and lowering break-even costs, making those new zones competitive, he said. Quote, the Permian Basin is evolving as the best play through technology and innovation, he said. He said the company believes there remains quite a bit of Tier 1 drilling inventory, enough for the next 10 to 20 years. He estimated it would take $1 trillion to develop that inventory over that time. He pointed out the company is also investing in midstream companies, citing its investment in Producers Midstream 2, which serves Texas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. Quote, it's an extension of our operator solutions philosophy. We want to help with midstream issues at the drill bit. We're not competing with operators, he explained. Because of the wave of consolidation, he said there's a deeper inventory in the hands of fewer operators, allowing Tailwater to help with capital and technology, he said. The company is also watching the growing emphasis on natural gas among Permian Basin producers and is preparing on both the upstream and midstream sides. Quote, we believe in energy addition instead of energy transition. There is durable demand from artificial intelligence data centers, and liquefied natural gas demand will support natural gas prices. We still think crude will be required. From vehicles to airplanes, there's so much of a barrel of oil that can't be replaced, he said. Aquafortis moves to commercialization. Non-thermal brine concentration pioneer names new CEO. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Aquafortis is ready to take its place on the global stage. Quote, we and Aquafortis have completed the validation phase, said Iris Jancic, who just joined the company as chief commercial officer. Quote, we had 16 different brines tested, and we're getting consistent results. What's next is commercialization, end quote. Aquafortis is a pioneer in non-thermal, non-membrane brine concentration and now looks to build and operate large-scale infrastructure projects in oil and gas-produced water, mining, and hypersaline industrial wastewater across four continents. Quote, we're excited about where the company is and where it's going, said Jim Newman, citing opportunities in the secondary electric vehicle battery market in Asia and the Pacific, and mining in South America and the Middle East. As it prepares for the global stage, the company has appointed several new executives in addition to Jancic. Hoshang Subawala will succeed Newman as CEO. His experience includes time at industry giants GE, Suez, and Veolia. Newman, who is transitioning from chief executive officer to lead the company's most critical strategic mission, oil and gas-produced water, noted that in the oil and gas sector, water treatment technology is competing with disposal wells. The industry is being challenged by a growing lack of pore space to hold that water, as well as concerns about seismicity. When the industry looks at technology solutions, they focus on costs, he added. For decades, he noted, the industry's perspective was to inject and dispose of that water. Now there's unconventional production and unconventional water and unprecedented volumes, he said. Quote, if you think of the size of the opportunities and the need for solutions, oil and gas companies are collaborating, but they need scale, said Newman. disposal will always be there, but I think there's potential for reuse. The industry needs to transcend its own silos, he said. There is a sense of urgency over the state's need for water that is being emphasized at the Produced Water Society conference in Houston this week, said Jancic. Quote, no one thinks it will get better. There's a lot of proactive attitudes among attendees. We're seeing a sense of urgency, end quote. The Permian Basin is the beachhead market for aquafortis for a lot of reasons, said Newman. But water is a global theme, and the company has the growing capacity to pursue the Permian Basin and global market. Other new members of the executive team include Jancic, a veteran of the desalination industry and former CEO of IBAT and of IDE Americas, and Dave Allworth, who will serve as chief financial officer. Natural gas outlook volatile, but fundamentals improve. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Natural gas producers are facing a familiar disconnect this year, according to an analysis by Mercer Capital. Though the recent winter storm sent prices spiking, the overall outlook from most prognosticators is below $4 most of the year, according to Bryce Erickson with Mercer. Quote, prices remain volatile, equities have struggled to find consistent footing, and investor sentiment still skews cautious. Yet, beneath the surface, production behavior, infrastructure progress, and demand growth are aligning in ways that look more constructive than public market indications might suggest, he said. What is different in this cycle is that producers, infrastructure developers, and capital providers seem to have adjusted faster than equity markets. Supply growth these days is constrained more by choice and infrastructure and less by geology, he said. Demand is increasingly anchored by LNG exports and power generation tied to data centers, and capital structures are increasingly designed to wait rather than force growth or exits. In the Permian, natural gas dynamics remain tied to oil activity. Associated gas volumes continue to grow, but takeaway constraints persist. Periodic pipeline maintenance and delays in downstream capacity additions have reinforced volatility at natural gas hubs such as Waha. Quote, natural gas prices are unlikely to lose their volatility anytime soon. Weather patterns, storage levels, geopolitical events, and global LNG flows will continue to drive short-term swings. What has changed is the industry's ability to respond, Erickson said. Producers have prioritized balance sheet stability, free cash flow, and capital returns over volume growth. That discipline has proven durable over the past few years, suggesting it has become structural rather than opportunistic. Public operators, still shaped by the lessons of the last decade, appear unwilling to sacrifice capital efficiency for near-term market share. Quote, natural gas markets in 2026 look less like a sector in decline and more like one waiting for its own fundamentals to be recognized. Supply growth remains disciplined. Pipelines add optionality without overshoot. LNG and data centers absorb incremental volumes. Capital is structured to wait, Erickson concluded. Project Vault lowers dependence on China for rare earths. The story was written by Bob Campbell. President Trump recently announced the creation of a $12 billion program called Project Vault to establish a strategic stockpile of critical minerals and rare earths and lessen America's reliance on foreign supply chains like China's for defense and industry. The project will be funded by $2 billion in private capital and a $10 billion loan from the U.S. Export-Import Bank in Washington, D.C. The location of the stockpile has not been announced. Odessa oilman Kirk Edwards and Waco economist Ray Perryman say it is a sound policy. Quote, similar to the oil industry's strategic petroleum reserves, Project Vault is intended to protect American industry against supply shocks, Edwards said. For the energy sector, especially technologies like EVs, grid storage, and advanced electronics, stable access to critical minerals is increasingly as important as stable access to oil and gas. Quote, while the initiative itself doesn't build new capacity, it strengthens supply chain resilience and could incentivize private investment in domestic mining and processing that energy manufacturers depend on, particularly at a time when U.S. supply chains have been heavily reliant on China, end quote. Perryman said rare earth minerals are essential to a variety of industries as well as to national defense and security. Quote, China has demonstrated a willingness to restrict exports of the minerals as a negotiating tactic, and it is certainly economically rational and prudent for the U.S. to reduce its reliance on unpredictable external sources, Perryman said. While substantial investments will be required in mining and processing facilities, I anticipate that, given the stakes, this initiative will receive the needed support to move forward. Although there may be some inevitable overlap with the oil and gas industries, it seems unlikely to be a major issue at this time. End quote. In fact, he said, Project Vault supports the energy sector by helping avoid issues related to supply chains and other economic disruptors, and if expanded significantly, it might also increase energy demand. China currently provides 60% of the world's rare earths and does 90% of the world's mining for the extraction of rare earth minerals like neodymium and dysprosium to create the powerful permanent magnets that are crucial for electric vehicles, wind turbines, and electronics. American rare earth company stocks rose after Trump's February 2nd announcement with critical metals increasing by more than 10%, MP Materials by 2.5% to 4%, NioCorp Developments by nearly 10%, Energy Fuels by 8%, Idaho Strategic Resources by more than 3%, United States Antimony by 6.1%, Ivanhoe Electric by 4.1%, Standard Lithium by 3%, and USA Rare Earth by 11 to 13%.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, February 14th, 2025. Religion. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. Sheba from 2 Samuel chapter 20. David was king of Israel and Judah, but all was not calm. A troublemaker named Sheba sounded his trumpet and shouted, "We have no share in David, no part in Jesse's son. Every man to his tent, O Israel." The men of Israel followed Sheba, and the men of Judah followed David. David sent Amasa, who had once been over all of Absalom's army, to summons the men of Judah to assemble before him in 3 days. Amasa took longer than the 3 days. David sent Abishai, Joab's brother, with Joab's men to find Sheba. At Gibeon, Amasa met them. Joab killed Amasa with his dagger. He and Abishai continued to pursue Sheba to Abel-Beth-Maacah. While he was battering the wall at Abel-Beth-Maacah, a wise woman went to Joab and asked why he was trying to destroy the city. He explained that he was after Sheba, who had lifted up his hand against King David. "Hand him over, and I will withdraw from your city," he promised. The woman replied, "His head will be thrown to you from the wall." Following her advice, the people of the city cut off Sheba's head and threw it to Joab. Joab's men returned to Jerusalem.
And up next, Texas teens urged to take the pledge to always buckle up. Out of Austin, skipping seatbelts isn't a flex, it's a deadly risk. The new Save by the Bell competition challenges Texas teens to wear a seatbelt every seat, every ride. The Texas Department of Transportation, TxDOT, and the University Interscholastic League, UIL, are calling on high school students to pledge to buckle up every time they get in a vehicle and always drive like a Texan, kind, courteous, and safe. Our future is on the line. Teens and young adults age 15 to 20 make up nearly 9% of the Texas population, yet they were involved in 19% of all motor vehicle crashes in 2024. Tragically, 132 of the young people killed in those crashes were not wearing a seatbelt. Teens will shape our communities for years to come, but the simple choice to buckle up or not can be the difference between a bright future or a young life cut short, TxDOT Executive Director Mark Williams said. By instilling these habits now, we can help the next generation of Texas drivers make safe driving decisions for the rest of their lives. What TxDOT is doing. TxDOT's partnership with the UIL is part of an annual teen-focused Click It or Ticket campaign. Students at more than 1,500 high schools across Texas have been invited to compete in the Saved by the Belt Challenge. Through February 27th, students can go to texasfootball.com to take the pledge to buckle up every time they get in a vehicle. The UIL will provide a grand prize of $5,000 to the school that gets the most pledges. Seatbelts save lives. The real winners in the contest will be the students who are safer on the road because they always wear their seatbelts, the best defense in a crash. If you're not buckled up, you could be ejected from the vehicle or even thrown into other passengers. When you buckle up, you protect yourself and your fellow passengers from serious injury or death. Although Saved by the Bell is specifically aimed at teens and young adults, it's important to remember that Texas law requires all drivers and passengers to wear a seatbelt. Unbuckled drivers and passengers, even those in the back seat, face fines and court costs up to $200. The Click It or Ticket campaign is an important part of TxDOT's Drive Like a Texan, kind, courteous, safe initiative. Drive Like a Texan is about embracing the pride, camaraderie, and responsibility of being a Texan on the road. By making thoughtful choices, we can all help keep each other safe. Learn more at drivelikeatexan.com.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.